Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault?
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rockfin, Odyssey, Band.video, Vigilante.tv, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate it. We know you've got a lot of choices out there. So the fact that you decided to spend some time with me, I certainly do appreciate that. The website is theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can connect with me through Twitter at Macroaggression. We'll see what happens with the bots over there on Twitter. Are they going away? Is Elon going to actually finish up this deal? We'll see. Either way, thanks to our sponsors. We love them. Chemical Free Body has been with us for a couple years now. That I take their products every single morning. I take Green 85. I went through the Detox in a Box package 90-day program. I'll tell you what. If you have never done that, you probably should at least check it out. See what you think about it, because it had a tremendous, a visible impact on me. I thought I was, I didn't need to lose weight. I wasn't trying to lose weight. I accidentally lost quite a bit of weight, almost 10% of my body weight, which was crazy. Might have even been a bit too much, but that's what happened. I'm not saying you'll have the same results. I'm just saying that's what happened to me. It made my body a whole lot more efficient. It cleaned out all the junk that was in there. Like, you get your oil changed in your car all the time. Maybe get your oil changed in your body. You know, maybe clear out all that garbage and make way for some better materials going in you. it had a tremendous impact on me. So I'll tell you what. Look, all I can do is this. Their products work. They work for me. I've been taking them for over 2 years. I can say that with 100% honesty. I would never lie to you about that. But I must say this, that the vitamin industry is filled with a bunch of scammy stuff. You know, a lot of products don't work. It's hard to really measure or quantify if they're actually doing anything. But I found a company that actually makes good stuff. It's Chemical Free Body. Tim James has been on this program more than any other guest I've ever had. It's been Tim James. And he will be back, because every time he comes in, he's got real easy steps for us to follow, things that you can do without putting out too much effort to clean up your body. And look, I think the theme of this show is to be proactive, you know, not reactive, and taking care of your health. It's one of those things. You're going to be the one in charge of it. It's going to be up to you. So if you're deciding, you know, now is the time, I'm tired of being unhealthy, I'm tired of feeling this way, I want to feel better, then do this. Go to chemicalfreebody.com/macro. Take a look, see what you think. On your way out, use the promo code macro to save yourself some money. They have free shipping inside the United States. They have a, I think, like a double your money back guarantee if you're unhappy with the products. Nobody's unhappy with their products because they actually work. People are so surprised that they actually work that they're not happy or not unhappy. So I look, I've got a stack of their stuff in my bathroom. I take every single morning, all the pills that they've got, and then go upstairs and make myself a green 85 smoothie, which looks gross, to be honest, but tastes surprisingly good. So check it out for yourself. Promo code MACRO. Save yourself some money on the way out. Also, solar powered lifestyle. This is going to be a fitting one for the contents of this episode, I assure you. Solarpowerlifestyle.com is the website. They're a new sponsor. They're a small business, veteran-owned, family-owned business. We like that. They listen to the show. We obviously love that. They thought it would be a good fit that we partnered up. I agree. I think we all need to have backup options for our power. We get very comfortable with the turning on the light switch and the lights come on and, you know, expecting our power to always be there. And hopefully it always is. But we know how chaotic things have been. We know that these guys want to build back better. We know that they want to destroy what's currently here. Destroying the power grid wouldn't be hard to do. An EMP could take it out. All these things. So I'll tell you what, if you have a backup plan, you're probably going to be feeling a lot better. If you think you need something in the way of solar power to, you know, it doesn't have to be a big system. Maybe you want a big one for your house or you've got a cabin out in the woods that doesn't, you know, it's not on the grid. You can get a big system. They have financing available, so don't let that hold you up. You can pay it off over a couple of years if you need to. But I think most people are going to pick up the smaller systems. Just get a smaller one, a couple $100, have it in your car, in the trunk of your car in case you need it. You're ever stranded somewhere and need your cell phone to work and you're out of power or something. I don't know. I think it's just better to be prepared as opposed to, you know, being reactive. And I've had the power go out of my house and my little conspiratorial mind goes, oh shit, this is it. This is the time where it never comes back on, right? We're going to be banging, rubbing sticks and stones together to create fire out here. So look, don't do that. Don't get yourself in that situation. SolarPowerLifestyle.com, promo code MACRO. They have all of the big systems that you want. EcoFlow, Jackery, all that stuff is there. Take a look. Just go take a look. See what you think. If you're interested, pull the trigger on it. And of course, anything that goes to support our sponsors helps to support the show as well. And we certainly do appreciate that. Well, let's get into it, shall we? Let's get into what's coming for Europe. We have a huge audience in Europe for this show. I appreciate that. Love you all. Thank you for checking the show out and sharing it with your friends and family. I do appreciate it. I'm in America. And so the show will obviously kind of have an America-centric slant to it. But that doesn't mean I don't know what's going on in Europe. It doesn't mean that I haven't been to Europe a bunch and I'd love to go more, to be honest. There's so much I want to see there that I haven't seen. But I'll tell you what I have been seeing. I've been seeing a lot of nonsense going on. Not just Ukraine. Obviously, that we're gonna talk about a little bit. But last year, about this time, Joe Biden threatened the unvaccinated with a dark winter, which was interesting terminology considering there was a dark winter simulation that was run in 2001, and it was simulating the outbreak of an anthrax attack. You know, there's components to that. So when he said it's going to be a dark winter, you know, my little brain goes, you mean like a false flag? Now, I think America may have a dark winter this coming winter, but I tell you, you know who is for sure? It's Europe. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, though if you're in Europe, I'm not telling you something you don't already know. But that's the direction things are headed. I hope we can get it turned around, but it is not looking good. And that's why, you know, like I said, the theme of the show is let's be proactive, not reactive. Let's be honest about the situation that we're facing and not go, oh, well, you know, everything's just going to be fine. There's a thing called normalcy bias. And that is that you woke up today and everything was normal. Yesterday, everything was normal. And the day before that, everything was normal. So you assume that tomorrow will be normal. And hopefully it is. And you know what? Most of the time, it is. But that doesn't mean that just because today was normal and yesterday was normal, tomorrow we're promised that. We most certainly are not. So I think that we need to at least explore what this might look like. considering we're not in winter yet, we're coming up to it, there's still time to prepare for it. There's still time to make moves in advance. And I think we should. I think everybody should. I think that you should just, you know, look, like I obviously my one of my sponsors is My Patriot Supply. And I've talked about their food getting ready and things like that. Because look, if you never need it, then what's the worst that happens? You have extra food, you know, you have storable food, you have that, you've stocked up your pantry like a lunatic with all this food that'll last you through the apocalypse. Well, oh, look at you, you big dummy with all your extra food. You're like, yeah, I've got extra food. It's a good thing to have. You know, same with Solar Power Lifestyle, you know, this company that if you, you're buying a little solar panel kit. What are you, a paranoid conspiracy theorist? Well, maybe. Maybe not. Maybe I'm just somebody that likes to be prepared. Maybe that will be the best purchase I've ever made in my entire life when the power goes out. And look, I'm not trying to say that you're going to live the rest of your life off of some couple $100 solar system, right? But it'll keep you functioning. It'll keep your phone charged, or maybe keep the heater going or whatever, you know. It'll keep you in the game. And that's the plan, right? Keep yourself alive as long as possible. And I worry about Europe. I worry about them a lot because, as we've seen during this Ukraine thing, there's a lot of dependency on other countries to make sure that Europe stays warm and has the lights on. And you know, when you're super dependent on a country, oh, I don't know, let's just say Russia, and you need their oil and gas because it's part of what you depend on for, you know, to fill in the gaps in your own energy production. You're not energy independent, you're energy dependent, and you're dependent on a foreign country. Maybe don't start a war with that foreign country. Just thought. Maybe don't slap sanctions on them and treat them like they're like Adolf Hitler Jr. over there. And again, I've said this before, I'll say it again. If you wanted to ask me one of my core values, I'm anti-war. I don't like war. I fully recognize sometimes wars happen, but I also fully recognize that bankers start wars and shithead politicians start wars, and there's a whole lot of other reasons. So I do not like the idea of wars, period. And so the fact that the Russia in, you know, Russian invasion of Ukraine, I don't like the war component of that, but I'm also not naive. I also understand that, you know, they're doing the poking, you know, poking your brother in the back seat, you know, like, I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. I'm not mom, he's touching. I'm not touching you. I'm just making you feel like I'm going to touch you, to the point where then they react. And we've been doing that to Russia for fucking years, forcing them, you know, putting them in situations and waiting for them to react to it. And there's a whole lot of a backstory to the Ukraine thing, obviously, and we've got Russia-centric or Russia-speaking regions of Ukraine that have said, we are Russian, we want to go back to Russia. So there's a whole lot of nuance to this. It's not as simple as just, it's not Operation Barbarossa, where Germany like invaded the Soviet Union and kicked off that front of World War II. It's not that, it's different. It's, these were our territories. We want our territories back. And, you know, it's, there's a little bit more to the story, but I just say that because, you know, I just don't like the idea of there being wars, but I also fully recognize that this wasn't 100% Russia doing this. This was NATO, you know, luring them, forcing them almost, creating situations where they had to respond. And then our response to Russia was, oh, we're going to slap sanctions on you and we're going to make make everything infinitely more difficult for you. And then Russia goes, oh, okay, well then what we'll do is we'll just turn off the gas and oil that we send to you guys in Europe, since you hate us so much. And since, you know, you want to pull out of our country, and Starbucks is leaving, and McDonald's is leaving, and BMW's, we're the worst country in the world, right? Obviously. And you're pulling out, and you're, then why would you want to sully yourself by accepting our dirty Russian oil and gas? Right? So of course they're going to cut it off. Why wouldn't they? And then we have the pipeline explosion, blow up. And we're going to get into a lot of this. So And it all plays into Europe's dark winter that is most definitely on the horizon. But there's a term. There's a term that we hear in the United States over and over and over again. And you probably hear it in Western countries as well. But it is like, if you're a media personality, you are contractually required to say the following words: the unprovoked war in Ukraine. It's always unprovoked war in Ukraine. Well, that's a lie, because it was most definitely a provoked war in Ukraine. The United States and NATO and Ukraine have been provoking Russia for at least since 2014, but realistically before that. And this is just a measurable observation. It's not my opinion. We've been doing these things. We've got Victoria Nuland talking about Yats is our guy back in 2014 and talking about how they're overthrowing the Ukrainian government in order to put somebody that's more willing to work with us as opposed to somebody that's more willing to work with the Russians and everything. So like, we've been fucking with Ukraine for a long, long time. But if you're on the television news in America, you have to say the following term: the unprovoked war in Ukraine, because you have to sell it like Ukraine was just sitting there minding their own business when the big bad Russians just came out of nowhere and decided they were going to take their shit back. Not even take their shit back. They just said that they're going to come in and kill us all, right? They leave out the part about the taking their own shit back, which was their country. But besides that, you know, they make it sound like Ukraine had no role in this. They were just minding their own business and all of a sudden war broke out. Well, that's not exactly true. The Ukrainians had been fucking with that region and shelling it and killing like 14,000 people over the last 8 years or so. So there's been a whole lot of there's more to the story. I'll just put it that way. And look, Let's also talk about what this war is about. We've got NATO influence all over the place. We've got them at North Atlantic Treaty Organization. And that was supposed to be this group of countries that was in the, bordered the North Atlantic. And they were all going to be like, it's like a world army. And it started right after World War II. And I don't want to get into the whole details of what NATO is, but basically, NATO is a European group army to fight. You know, it was set up as a method of checking Russian Soviet power right after World War II. When Germany fell, then the Soviets took half and the West took the other half. Then there was this thought that NATO was, or that the Soviet Union was eventually just going to come over and take the rest of Western Europe. And then NATO was created and as a deterrent to that, sort of like a group army. And since that never happened, NATO should have probably been disbanded decades ago, but of course it's not, because it's a globalist operation and it works well for destabilizing countries and giving plausible deniability to the United States, who runs NATO, for lack of a better description. I mean, they're always in charge of it. They always have their guy as like the solicitor general or whatever the term is. Whoever's in charge of NATO is always an American, and that's by design. So it's an American centric vehicle. But it gives you a little bit of deniability, because America goes, it wasn't us, it was NATO, you know, but we are NATO. But NATO promised not one inch to the east, right? When the Soviet Union fell in 1991, we said to them, look, you guys go ahead and break up because you're communists and communists ideas don't work, and we'd love for you to break up because we've been trying to destabilize you for decades now, and it finally works. So you're going to break up, and we promise not one inch to the east. We will not expand NATO one inch to the east. Well, if you know anything about American promises, they're worthless. Okay, unfortunately, they're just not worth the paper that the treaties are written on. And of course, NATO started moving 1 inch east almost immediately. Captured all of these former Russian or former Soviet satellite countries and joined them into NATO. And now the latest is the push to, well, Finland is now on the list as well. And that straight up borders Russia along the north. And there was talk that maybe Ukraine would be brought into NATO. Ukraine has filed applications. The applications have been denied. But this is, you know, the Russians said, listen, we're not fucking around here. You have Ukraine join NATO, and we're going to have a huge problem with that. That's just not going to work. Well, so that's kind of where we stand, right? That's kind of where we were with this whole, when the war sort of got going early in 2022, which is Ukraine is sitting there having a problem with Russia. NATO is coming in the back door and being, you know, and puppeting Ukraine and creating this havoc and financing them and giving them weapons and giving them all the materials that they need. And look, let's be honest about what Ukraine is. You know, Ukraine is good for a couple of things: human trafficking, weapons testing, a home for United States biolabs, and money laundering. That's just what it is. It's the most corrupt country in all of Europe. It might be the most corrupt country in the world. There might be other smaller countries that sort of nobody really thinks about that have more, overt corruption. But considering how much money is flowing through Ukraine, it's a laundromat. It's a laundromat for Western money. And United States and all these scumbag politicians in Washington, D.C., that's why they keep announcing package deal after package deal. You know, here's another 10 more billion. Here's another 6 more billion. Here's another 20 billion. This is all money laundering. This is money is going to Ukraine. It's going to Lockheed Martin, and it's winding up in the Cayman Islands, no doubt. I mean, at least some of it is. I mean, the fucking materials themselves are winding up on the equivalent of like Craigslist. Okay, you buy. If you're thinking of what to get that special man in your life for this coming Christmas, I mean, have you considered a rocket launcher from Ukraine? You can go get them on the black market there. I would definitely not use Bitcoin for that purchase. I would definitely use Monero so that nobody could track you. But I'm obviously being facetious. But there is a lot of American weapons for sale there, and that is a huge problem, but also completely right on schedule. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about what's going on with regard to the Nord Stream 1 and 2 pipelines. They just up and blew up, don't you know? I mean, it was like, must have been climate change or something. I feel like climate change had to have played a role in this. Maybe the Nord Stream 2 got COVID. Have we considered that? Have we vaccinated the Nord Stream pipelines yet? We certainly should do that. So let's talk about the American psychics that were involved. There's a lot of Americans, real good psychics. Look, we don't need remote viewers when we've got the likes of Joe Biden and the CIA. I mean, the CIA warned Germany about a potential gas pipeline attack in the Baltic just weeks before it happened. Isn't that's a hell of a guess? I mean, that's a lucky guess. The CIA should definitely put some money down on the roulette table. With luck like that, holy moly, they got a hot hand. They just magically called it, right? Get themselves like a couple game football parlay on a Sunday. Yeah. Who do you like in the Jets Patriots game? Joe Biden has given up the plan, though, of course, you know, because he's unhinged and not really in control of his words. But he said this on February 7th, 2022. This is before the official war broke out between Russia and Ukraine. He said this, and this is, you know, pretty important. He said, if Russia invades, that means tanks or troops crossing the border of Ukraine again, then there will be no longer a Nord Stream 2. We will bring an end to it. I promise you, we will be able to do it. This is not a pipeline that runs through American waters, okay? This is, I think, technically, I don't know if it's German waters or Danish waters, but it's, I mean, the pipeline is going, it connects into Germany where they, where the Navy SEALs blew it up. I don't know if that was technically Danish waters. Might have been. Either way, it doesn't matter. It's not the United States waters, okay? There's a pipeline going through some other country, and the United and the CIA said, you know, hey, Germany, there's a chance that that pipeline, you know, is going to get blown up. And the Germans are like, really? Why do you say that? And they're like, I mean, we have a hunch. And then Joe Biden says that if Russia invades Ukraine, then there will no longer be a Nord Stream 2 pipeline. We will bring an end to it. Not, you know, the Afghanis will bring an end to it. Not the people in Mozambique will bring an end to it. We will bring an end to it. Not to be outdone, certified psychopath Victoria Nuland, you know, the Yats is our guy, 2014 chick, said the following: with regard to Nord Stream 2, we continue to have very strong, clear conversations with our German allies. And I want to be clear with you today. If Russia invades Ukraine, one way or another, Nord Stream 2 will not move forward. This is like you get into, you're at a birthday party. You're at a bar, all right? You're at a bar. And you get into a verbal argument with some guy at this bar. And in front of the entire bar, you say, you motherfucker, I'll fucking kill you, you know? And everybody in the bar hears it. I'll fucking kill you. And that guy leaves the bar. And then the next day, you hear, hey, do you know that guy got shot out in the parking lot? That dude who was the guy was yelling at said he was going to fucking kill him. That guy went out and got in his car and got shot in the parking lot and got killed. Let me ask you. Out of everybody in the bar, who do you think you're going to bring in for questioning? Who's going to get dragged down to the police station? Is it Victoria Nuland and Joe Biden? I mean, because in this scenario, that's the prime suspects. I mean, after all, you did say we will put an end to it. You did say it will not move, you know, one way or another, Nord Stream 2 will not move forward. And then Nord Stream 2 just up and blows up. And then their response is Russia did it. I mean, such a lie that is so insulting, but I'm glad they said it. I'm glad they said Russia did it. I'm glad they said it because it's such an obvious lie that you've got people that are like Jeffrey Sachs. You've got guys that are former like military generals coming out and they're like, hey, you know, let me ask you, what do you think about this pipeline? And they're like, America did it. And they're like, well, how do you say that, but where is your evidence for it? It's like, who had motive and opportunity? Why would the Russians blow up their own pipeline? They spent billions of dollars in many years. They've got one strategic advantage, which is they've got all this oil and gas, and they can make sure that they can manipulate who gets it and who doesn't get it. And they built this great pipeline that connects right into Germany, and they can send all that stuff there, or they can just turn it off at will, which they've been doing, right? They've been saying, well, you know, we got to update these pipelines and God, all the materials that we need to really do a good maintenance job on this pipeline. We just can't get them because you guys put sanctions on us. So, you know, we may or may not use these pipelines at full capacity. And then all of a sudden they just blow up. Very convenient. So let me ask you, why would the Russians do it to themselves? And I fully understand false flags. But this is an instance where false flag makes zero sense. So who's got the motive? It's not Russia. It's certainly not Germany. I mean, maybe Poland has a little bit of a motive because one of their head politician guys came out on Twitter and was like, thank you, USA, after it happened. And everyone's like, oh shit, like what does this guy know? Well, obviously this guy knows what's going on. And to be fair, Poland hates both Germany and Russia. I mean, they've been getting double teamed by these countries since World War One. But World War II was nobody got more obliterated than the two cities that got more obliterated. Well, I guess maybe besides Nagasaki and Hiroshima were Manila in the Philippines and Warsaw in Poland. Poland was just destroyed because the Germans took them out from one end and the Russians took them out from the other end. And then the Russians came across Poland to finish off Germany and everything. So Poland's got no love for either of these two, you know? So when they see that the US blew this up, they're like, nice, you know? So Poland definitely has a motive, but I don't think they did it. I think the most realistic, and I think everybody would agree with this, anybody that has a, you know, a brain, would recognize that the West had the motive and opportunity, and NATO in general, and the United States in particular. And I think what happened was that the United States sent a SEAL dive team down there and blew that fucking pipeline to pieces. And I'm not alone in that belief, okay? But Anthony Blinken, the embarrassing Secretary of Defense, came out and said, called this a tremendous opportunity to remove dependence on Russian energy. But fuck the people, right? Fuck the people, right, Tony? Who cares about the people? It's a tremendous opportunity to remove the dependence on Russian energy. You know, the Russian energy that everybody in Western Europe depends on to stay alive this winter? Oh, fuck them. Who cares? Let them starve to death and die and freeze. Who cares? It's a tremendous opportunity to get us off of Russian energy. Great. And replace it with what, Tony? What are we replacing it with? Wind farms? Magic fairy dust, unicorn farts. What is the plan? Because you don't have a backup plan. Yes, you're no longer dependent on Russian energy. That's not the win that you think it is. Especially, you know, this is coming from a country, America, that just recently crossed over into $31 trillion in debt. And we're going to lecture other countries about tremendous opportunities of removing dependence on Russian energy as we sell off our strategic petroleum reserves to the fucking Chinese, which is what Joe Biden is doing. We are run by morons. That is just a fact. So what does this mean? Well, blowing up that pipeline is an act of war. It will take every ounce of restraint for Putin to not just start annihilating places. But I think he's pretty strategic. He seems to be a less reactive, more, I don't know, strategic thinker. More so than the West, more so than Anthony Blinken and Joe Biden. Anthony Blinken can't even get the Chinese to sit down and take him seriously. He's a clown. Whose family has ties to the Maxwells, by the way. But, you know how that works. It's just funny. So look, this weaponizing energy, like NATO is doing here, it goes both ways. You know, you want to do that? Russia has the ability to say, we will never sell you another ruble's worth of energy for what you've done to us. Now, would that hurt Russia? Sure, absolutely. Be cutting off their biggest customer, one of their biggest customers, probably their biggest customer would be Europe. Certainly wouldn't be good for business. But would it take Europe down to their knees? Yes, it would. Yes, it will. And we're about to find out, because this winter is going to be rough. Because it's one thing if NATO and America had planned this out for 7 years and they had all the backups going on. They said, well, we've got Saudi Arabia, they're going to build this and we're doing this and everything. There's a new pipeline that's connecting up, and that's the answer to it. I mean, there really is a new pipeline that just got activated the day before the Nord Stream 2 blew up. I know, a tremendous coincidence again, but that new pipeline got activated the day before. But that's not enough. That's not going to be enough to handle all of this. And they don't have a plan. Western Europe is in trouble. This now you've got countries like Spain and Portugal. They get a lot of their oil from Algeria, North Africa. So they're not as dependent. They're not in this crunch. I mean, they've got they're in NATO, of course, but they're not bound by this. You know, the Russian import of gas or getting cut off doesn't affect them because they get their gas elsewhere. So they're going to be okay. You might want to be in Spain and Portugal this winter if you're in Europe now and you're looking for a place to escape. They're going to come out of this probably okay. But the rest, no. This is a problem. So you have to ask cui bono, right? Who benefits? Who benefits from all this? Well, the United States is now selling liquefied natural gas, LNG, to Germany and Europe. You know, the countries that are dependent now on somebody else for their energy needs, they were dependent on Russia. And that went away. And now they're dependent on us. Now you're forced to make a deal with the devil. The devil being the United States, of course. And we have already started to see that. The ships are starting to set sail, and they're saying that the pricing that the ships are charging for this LNG is the most expensive they've ever chartered for these ships. And you see these ships, they've got like big domes, big gigantic cargo ships, but they've got these big like four big humps on them, like domes. And those are the LNG ships that are going off. And of course, you know, not to be outdone, the insider trading in Washington, D.C. was rampant because a bunch of people that were working in Congress started buying shares in the company that has the ships that transport LNG, you know, right before the pipeline blew up. But I'm sure, again, that's another coincidence. I mean, they would never inside trade on information like that, right? But look, the European Union has instituted eight different sanction packages on Russia now. Eight of them. Again, I want you to think about this. You know you're dependent on a foreign adversary for oil. You know that you are. Okay. You're then going to get into a skirmish with them, where it doesn't necessarily, I mean, you're not in a hot war yourself with them, but you are going to agree to sanction them. And then, knowing full well that the sanctions are a two-way street, right? You say, we're going to pull all of our stuff out and we're not going to buy anything Russian and we're not going to sell you any of our Western stuff. And we're going to punish Russia by doing that. And Russia goes, okay, well, we're not going to sell you any of our Russian stuff, which includes fertilizer, oil, natural gas, uranium, you know, all the things that you need for your Green New Deal and all that shit. Oh, and by the way, we're going to partner up with China, and China's going to partner up with Saudi Arabia, and they're all going to do their deals for oil there, and we'll just work with those people. You know, we're still selling our stuff to India. We're going to be fine. Russia's going to be fine. Russia's going to be more than fine because Russia's going to bring Europe to their knees. And again, I don't like any of this. I don't want any of this stuff to happen. But what do you expect? The EU froze, then stole Russia's foreign exchange reserves. So, you know, besides being awful people, they're also just common thieves. They just stole all their money. So we're acting like the worst people in the world while simultaneously saying Russia's the problem. Okay, well, maybe they are, maybe they aren't. So what is the play, though, for Germany? What's Germany going to do? Germany's super fucked, okay? And they're in a trap. They're in a trap of their own doing, right? So they've cut off Russian gas. Germany had made the decision to sanction Russia, and Russia cut off that gas. Now the pipeline, even if they had changed their minds, that pipeline's blown up. So there's no going back. That proverbial bridge has been burned, but in this case, it was a pipeline. The pipeline's been burned. So even if Russia and Germany got, you know, came together on friendly terms, there's still a problem there. Now, I had a thought. I had a thought before the pipeline blew up. And I'm wondering if I was right about this thought. And I want to be crystal clear. I'm speculating on this. This is not a true thing. This is just what I was thinking. I was thinking that if I were Russia in this situation, and I really wanted to create chaos with these NATO countries, and I've just decided, well, I'm not going to sell them any gas because they're sanctioning us, so why would I sell them any gas? I'm going to hit them where it hurts. I'm going to turn off the gas and watch them squirm. Then what I would do, if I were Russia, if I were Putin, I would then pick one country out of all of NATO. I'd pick one country and I would approach them, the most desperate country. I would approach them and say, looks like you're in a real bind. And it looks like you need our gas very badly. And it looks like you've been roped into this whole NATO thing to vote against your own best interest by sanctioning us. But I'll tell you what, one desperate country, I'm going to make a deal with you because we're nice. I'm going to sell you gas. I know you've sanctioned us and we've turned off the pipeline and everything, but I'm going to make a special exception for you because you're a desperate country. I'm going to sell you gas. I'm going to sell you all the gas you want. In fact, I won't even gouge you. I'll sell it to you at market rate. But here's the deal. I'm only going to sell it to you. I'm going to sell it to the first country that takes us up on this deal. It's going to be a one offer, and then it's off the table. If you want to accept our deal, we, Russia, will sell you all the gas that you need all winter long. But we're only going to sell it to you. We're not going to sell it to your other NATO friends. We're not going to sell it to any your neighboring countries. And you can't sell it in exchange. We're only going to sell you an amount that you need to keep you, your country, afloat. I would do that if I were Russia in order to drive a wedge in between NATO and get all of the other countries hating that one country. Now, that one country would make it through the dark winter because I would be supplying them with what they needed. Their industry would never have to shut down. Their people wouldn't freeze to death. The people would be grateful for this. You know, the people in that poor country would be grateful for this. And the rest of the NATO countries wouldn't know what to do. They would turn on them. There would be massive internal conflict. That's what I would do if I were Russia. And I had that thought, like from a strategic standpoint, if I really wanted, because the point is to cripple NATO. And the best thing you can do is get them fighting with each other and get them thinking that there's a weak link in there. And so I identified the weak country as Germany. Germany would be the country. Russia would go to Germany and say, you guys fucked this winter. BMW shuts down, Schlumberger steel shuts down. We already know that that they've closed tons of industries there. So what are we going to do? You know, we cut you a deal. I mean, everyone in all the other NATO countries will hate you, but we'll cut you a deal. Germany was the country I identified as being the most vulnerable and the most likely to break away. Almost like 2 days after I had this scenario in my head, the pipelines blew up. And then I start to read that Germany was having second thoughts about this whole embargo thing with Russia. And I went, holy shit. Okay. I might actually have been onto something. And I think that the United States knew that Germany was about to do a deal like that with Russia. And they blew up that pipeline to make sure they would never have the option. To force Germany to stay in NATO, to force them into this thing, you know, collective suicide pact. That's what I think. And again, like I said earlier, I'm speculating. It's just a thought. But if you think strategically about this stuff, you know, Russia doesn't necessarily need the money. Driving a wedge between NATO is worth more than money to them. It creates chaos. Then you get everybody hating on that country. And if it's Germany, Germany's already kind of viewed as a threat to the West because Germany just keeps always building itself back up and getting a little bit too powerful, and they need to be taken down a peg in the minds of the psychopaths in Washington, D.C. And what better way? Now they don't have that option. So I thought about that. You know,
I thought about maybe they were blown up to box Germany in so they couldn't bail out of the Ukraine thing. Germany was making noise and they're not really interested into this Ukraine thing. They don't give a shit. They don't want to send more money. They don't want to send more weapons. They've got their own problems, rightly so. And now the sanctions have created that you've got Germans out in the forest looking for wood, you know, for wood burning stoves to keep themselves alive. This is going to be a problem. And of course, German politicians would know if this is what winds up happening, they're going to come for us. Like we'll be hanging from lampposts pretty soon. And so they've got to do something. So my guess is that they were working a back channel deal with Russia to maybe come up with a way to, you know, hook us up for this winter, because we're otherwise screwed. The United States put an end to that. And I think that the United States and NATO are trying to collapse Germany financially. I mean, I think that they're forcing them into a situation where they are acting against their own best self-interest, which is to, when you cut off oil and gas from Russia, and that is 80% of your energy needs, you're slitting your own throat. And the only way you do that is if the people that are kind of convincing you to do that say, well, we got a backup plan. We'll take care of you. Like, don't worry, we'll hook you up. Really? Do they though? Are they going to hook you up, Germany? Is the United States and NATO really going to be there and be your best friend? Because they kind of would like to see you fall. I'll be honest with you. They're not good. The United States, you cannot trust them, right? It reminds me of that Kissinger quote, like, to be an enemy of the United States is dangerous. To be an ally is fatal. You know? Poland was happy, though. Again, they know what that's, they know what the destruction of that pipeline means for Germany. It's good luck to you guys. You guys trying to get that, your nuclear power plants fired up again? Yeah, well. So what do we think happened with the pipeline, right? I mean, I'm 100% certain that the United States did it. But who ordered it? Was it the World Economic Forum? Did they order it? You know, because let's think about this for a second. It's hard to know who's on whose side, you know, because there's a lot of overlapping interests. And if this were a Venn diagram, there would be some overlap. And, you know, some of the people that are working together are also sort of enemies in some component. But the World Economic Forum is pushing Build Back Better. And as we've mentioned many times, the back part is the most concerning component of that statement, because it implies that it used to be there and now it's not there, because you have to build it back better than before. So if you want to destroy a place in order to build back better, cutting off the pipeline would certainly be one way to do it, right? So, you know, when you go back to the cui bono, the who benefits way of thinking, World Economic Forum benefits, right? Because that they're going to see a destruct, and of course, when you're Germany and you're part of the Euro European Union, you're using a Euro currency, a one, you know, group currency, and you've got 31 other countries in there. You know what happens to one spreads to the others. This contagion, you know, if you target Germany for destruction from an energy standpoint, it's not long before that spreads, you know, to not just neighboring countries, but all of the EU. So it's something to consider. And I'll tell you what, for what it's worth, when Berwick and I wrote The Controlled Demolition of the American Empire, we speculated that the trigger event for the global, you know, for the collapse of the American Empire would actually be the fall of Deutsche Bank. And we're starting to hear rumblings of Credit Suisse faltering. Deutsche Bank is a zombie bank. It's propped up entirely. It's ready to fall and has been ready to fall for years, which is the reason why we, you know, said that that was going to be the trigger event. You can only keep that bank going for so long before it becomes Lehman Brothers. And when that happens, again, it has a cascading effect. You know, it starts slow and it just takes everything down with it. Because these banks are interlocking, you know, you've got derivatives deals on that are on the books of both, Credit Suisse, Deutsche Bank, you name it, Citigroup, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America. They're all sitting on each other's stuff. You know, they're all playing at this poker table and they've all got bets out there with each other. And so when you take one down, it's hard to cut the cords and keep it from taking everything else down with it. So, you know, I just wonder, you know, my little conspiratorial mind just goes there. But I feel like the European Union is showing signs of breaking up. I mean, the euro is the currency, the euro is not doing well. The pound is way down. Down further than it's ever been. And when it comes to these international currencies, I think this is what you'll see. If I had to speculate, you'll see the dollar strengthen temporarily in comparison to all the other currencies, where all the other currencies get taken out first. So the euro is slated for destruction. The pound is not doing well. The Bank of England is a mess. And first of all, I hate banks, obviously. I'd be happy if they all went away, except that the human cost to that is catastrophic, and I don't like that. But if there was some way to magically make the human cost negligible, then I would be in favor of all the banks going under. But in reality, that's going to hurt people, and I don't want to hurt people. So, and I don't know how you gently unwind the banks. It's like unwinding a brain aneurysm, you know, you very slowly and one wrong move and the patient's dead. So we have to be very careful with cheering on the collapse of these banks and these currencies, because theoretically I'd love for them all to collapse, but practically I don't like the ramifications of what that means for humanity and society. So I think it's something that we all need to keep an eye on. But you're going to see banks collapse, and it might be Credit Suisse first. Berwick and I might be off. We might be wrong. Deutsche Bank second. I don't know, but it's going to happen. They're insolvent. They're not doing well, which is crazy, because like the easiest way in the world to make money is to own a bank. So the fact that these banks always seem to be bankrupt is kind of funny in a sense, because they've got a money-making machine and yet they always seem to fuck it up. Well, because of course the wrong people are in charge. So we've got fuel prices spiking and will continue to spike. We've got the value of the currency dropping and continuing to drop. We've got governments doing the only thing they know how to do, which is throwing stupid amounts of money at problems that they're never going to fix because they're systemic. It's not something that a few billion dollars is going to fix. This is a banking system that is a house of cards waiting to come down. And the irony is going to be that what triggers this was the punishment that the West put on Russia is going to come home to be the thing that takes the West down. So the Western European countries have tried over the summers to fill their strategic petroleum reserves, but they'd never got them filled. So that's a problem. But the people are paying attention. The people are out in the streets. The people are angry. And if you think it was, during the summer, you saw a lot of protests out there, wait until people are starting to freeze to death. Wait until the supply chain has seized up and nobody can get food. Wait until that happens. And it's already starting to spill out into the streets. We have in Netherlands recently, we've had farmers forced to reduce their fertilizer consumption and usage by 50% by 2030. What a surprise. They took to the streets and said, we're done with that. Took their manure spreaders, filled them up with horse shit, and then pumped them into or all along the sides of government buildings, which is fantastic. I like the Dutch. The Dutch are awesome. They're not fucking around. They legalized weed, they legalized mushrooms, and they are not afraid to spray shit all over the buildings of government officials. God bless the Dutch, right? But they're also being told that they're, according to this 2030 program, that not only are they going to need to reduce their fertilizer usage by 50%, they're going to need to cull their livestock by 50%, if not more, because, you know, cow farts. So the Dutch aren't having it. They're out in the streets. They're pissed off about that. That's Build Back Better, in case you didn't figure that out. That the strategy is make it impossible for farmers to continue farming when you reduce their usage of fertilizer by half. Make it so that they and their stock of, you know, their livestock, make it so that, you know, it's like telling going to a company and saying, we're going to make it so that you can only do half as many sales and your inventory, we have to cut your inventory by 50%. And you're like, well, then I might as well go out of business. Okay, well, if you're going out of business, then we'll buy your business from you for super cheap, you know, we, the government. And that's what's going on. The farmers are going, well, we can't farm with this. I mean, we're just going to go out of business. And then the government's saying, well, we'll buy your land. And they're like, oh, fuck you. I'd rather light it on fire than sell it to you guys. So that's the plan. Destroy them with ridiculous government regulations that are being forced upon them by Klaus Schwab and the Build Back Better crew to reduce this under the guise of saving humanity from climate change. Oh, that horse shit. And then buying these farms once they collapse and become you know, foreclosed on, just taking them over or buying them for pennies on the dollar. That's the plan. That's always the plan. That's the Confessions of an Economic Hitman, John Perkins plan. You know, they're always talking about this. We've got tens of thousands of protesters turning out in Prague, in Czech Republic, against the global elite. You know, when you look up, what are they protesting against? It's like, they're protesting against the global elite. And you're like, could you be more specific? They're like, we're keeping it vague. Protesting against the global elite covers quite a bit of ground. You know, that's a reasonable thing to be protesting. We've got nationwide strikes in Paris over inflation and energy prices. And of course, we know that the Parisians know how to party with their yellow vests and everything. So it won't be long before they have all their farm equipment clogging up the streets and creating that sort of chaos. We've got cost of living protests in the UK. People out there burning their power bills. We've got Italy burning their power bills and protesting. Sri Lankans just straight up took over their government. Their prime minister is like seen like with suitcases, dragging suitcases, trying to get himself to a military plane and get the fuck out of there while they take over his palace. I don't know if you saw the Sri Lankan protest that took over the prime minister's palace, and he's got like this really nice pool, and there's like 1,000 Sri Lankans like in the pool, and there's a guy like up on the railing, like up on the second floor, doing backflips into the pool, and then a bunch of people in his living room on watching his big screen TV. They're watching the riots happening in their city in his living room on his big screen TV. I love it. Of course, unfortunately, and not surprisingly, they replaced that guy with a new prime minister who is a World Economic Forum Young Global Leader. So I hate to be the bearer of bad news to everybody in Colombo, Sri Lanka, but this is not going to get any better because you have now replaced that guy with a worse person who's going to create even more energy and fuel shortages in your country. Damn shame too. And since we're on Central Asia, let's talk about Bangladesh. They recently had the power to the entire country. The entire country of Bangladesh is without electricity. That's like 130 plus million people. No electricity in Bangladesh, which is hotter than fuck. Okay. When it's not dumping 10 feet of rain in a month. Okay. What is happening in these? And again, the people of Bangladesh, the people of Sri Lanka, these are poor countries. These are people that don't have the flexibility to sort of grind it out. They're dependent. They're not on. They don't have a 5-year plan. They have a 5-minute plan. They're trying to stay alive. They get paid daily in some of these regions. This is horrible, man. The price, the human cost of this is it's just impossible to measure. And it's being done on purpose, which is a disgusting thing. Germany protesting cost of living increases and heating bills. Yeah, that's what we're seeing. That's where we are. We're at a place where we've got the people out into the streets, which I love to see. I love to see the people standing up against their governments. But unfortunately, they're playing Russian roulette here with the power. And when the power doesn't come on, then you just think for yourself what that means. No power to hospitals, no power for, you know, Bangladesh is one of the largest textile manufacturing countries in the world. I mean, like second only to China, I think. So that goes away. That has supply chain implications. Not to mention, I mean, again, the human cost is the most important, but let's talk about it from a business standpoint. Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, what's next? Pakistan? India? Like, what's next? Well, India's not going to have a problem. You know why? Because India's buying their stuff, buying their oil from China and Russia. They're fine. They're going to be fine. They're not participating in this Build Back Better horse shit. I mean, they're going to want them to, but they're not. So look, I fear for Europe. If it was a comet that hit Western Europe and these things were happening, I would be understanding of it. It would be terrible, obviously, but I would say, well, at least we know, you know, it was some unforeseen event that nobody could have stopped or anything. It was just one of those things that happens. But that's not the case. These things are made to happen. The problems that Western Europe is facing are made to happen. They're being done by design. They're being done to take Europe down to their knees. And I have I'm very suspicious about the role of NATO. I think NATO should be disbanded. I've never been a fan of NATO. I'm not a fan of U.S. interventionist policies, as everybody knows that listens to the show. I am a proud American, but I am not a supporter of the American empire at all. So look, Europe, it might not be your fault, but it's certainly going to be your problem. Be proactive. Get your stuff squared away as soon as you can. Get your money out of the banks. Get your money out of the banks. Get your money out of the banks. Get yourself some gold. Get yourself some silver. Start planning accordingly. Start talking to your neighbors. Start figuring out what you're going to do when the power goes out, because it very well could. I hope it doesn't. I don't want to make these things. I don't want to like bring these things into existence, into the universe. But unfortunately, I don't think it matters what I think. It's powers at play that are much bigger. So be aware, pay attention, and be proactive. Hey, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. That's how this show has grown the way it has. I appreciate it so much. Thank you. If you want to connect with me, the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. I will talk to you all soon.